Richard Neal, talk to me about what Congress is doing about the opioid scourge that this country and the state of Massachusetts, our state, is facing.
Well, it's huge, and you can see that Senator Markey and I have offered Good Samaritan legislation that would free from liability those who administer the use of Narcan at the scene where somebody has overdosed and maybe very close to expiration. And at the same time, you're now seeing that this is no longer a inner-city issue, that this is now a problem that goes well beyond the big cities of Massachusetts into the suburbs. And you can see the number of deaths that have been occurring. And I think Governor Baker has been out front on the issue. We've had him in here with the Massachusetts congressional delegation to talk about it. We are going to be in January, Congresswoman Custer and the New England delegation, we're going to be hosting a get-together on the House floor where we can highlight for the American people what has happened across New England. And this problem is now very serious. It's very vexing for local police departments. And not to miss the point, when you read some of these obituaries, even though sometimes the reason for the passing has not been explained, you oftentimes now can read between the lines.
So the explanation for heroin used to be it's coming up from New York City, Hudson Valley, it comes over to Massachusetts. And now I'm hearing explanations that it's a development that has come from opioid pills and, OxyContin, other things like that. What are you guys being told?
Well, I think that there has been a good explanation in the sense that there has been an over-prescription level of opiates to people who get hooked because they not only exhaust the immediacy of the pain through the prescription they have, but then they ask for additional prescriptions. And then, not too quickly, there is a level of suspicion that is raised and they're shut off, and then they start to seek it in the underground market. Now, heroin has been being sold on the streets of Hartford and eastern Massachusetts, and I would suspect without knowing exactly, in places like Holyoke and Springfield, for $3 a bag. So heroin actually has now replaced some of the other drugs as the luxury choice because the price is so low. So I think that there is an issue here that's very readily discernible, and that is that heroin is much available, and it's available at a very low price. So there is the whole notion of supply and demand. There's an ample supply, there's substantial demand, and the price has gone through the floor.
Let me get to, this will be our last time together for a little while. Let me get to the Richie Neal question I always like to ask the most. What's going on in Ireland?
Well, we are back. The institutions of governance are up and running. The economic recovery in the Republic of Ireland has been nothing short of miraculous. They have put their debt behind them. Their economy is growing. The unemployment rate has gone from 14% to, I think, just a little bit above 8%. The government in the north is up and running. The parties have found an accommodation. The British government actually cooperated this time around. And I think that, by and large, the island is headed for better days. And that peace process has been very durable. And it has stayed. It has become an example for people near and far to use as how to put some of the contentious issues that separate or divide nations across the world to this day. And it's the longest-standing political dispute in the history of the Western world. And now there are institutions of governance where people who do not necessarily love each other but nonetheless coexist in the framework, the crucible of politics, and have found a path forward.
Ever see a time when North and South will be reunited?
Well, that's always been our goal, Alan. That's a very good question. I mean, that's always been the desire for those of us who have supported nationalism. And I think that you were never going to frighten the Unionists into a united Ireland. But I think now there's an easier path to convincing them, given the economic success of the Republic, there's an easier path to convincing them that joining the Republic of Ireland, with the border now gone in the north, you wouldn't even know you crossed a border any longer. British soldiers are gone, the border's gone, the policing has been reformed, and the economy in the Republic is much more dependent upon private investment than that in the north. So I think that the other interesting issue, in four of the six counties in the north of Ireland, there is now a nationalist majority. So the demographics are very clear. The nationalists tend to have larger families. And many of the Unionist families, they tend to migrate to Scotland, to Wales, or to England. And the truth is that the nationalist population continues to grow, and the demographic pattern there is very clear for all to see.
And what's the natural outcome, conclusion, of what you've just said?
Well, I think perhaps the next stage would be a confederation, where you moved or you built a bridge to national unification. And I think that that is something that is eminently doable in the next few decades.
And for all those people who are out there, don't know why I'm doing this, because Richie Neal is one of the most knowledgeable people on Ireland and Irish politics. My question to you, Richie, is if somebody's planning a trip to Ireland, where should they go?
Well, I mean, the West is probably the most spectacular vista, but not to miss the fact now that to see Belfast and the Mourne Mountains and Derry, you're really in for a treat. So the West Coast I tend to like. Inishmore is great to see, the islands, Inishmain, off of the West Coast. And much of the population that I have represented for a long period of time, they hail from the county of Kerry in the southwest of Ireland. And to get out to Slayhead and see the Blasket Islands is really some of the most spectacular opportunities to view that part of natural history that I've ever witnessed.
The first time we went to the Cliffs of Moher, it seems to me, we were able to go there, drive the car pretty close, and sit out with our then young kids. Now, it's like going to Disneyland. I mean, there's, you know, tourists from all over the world. You got to march in single file. How much of Ireland has been sort of developed that way?
Well, it's the endless debate, and part of it is European Union as well. And that argument, as you know, is playing out even across the Western Europe as we speak. But there are parts of southwest in Kerry, for example, or you can travel through the Donegal coast and see some spectacular venues, and you won't be interrupted by a lot of other tourists. And I would always recommend to see the island of Inishmore.
And how about driving? You know, the last time I was there, I was ready to, you know, never drive a car again. Got tour buses coming around the curve at
right. A
gazillion miles an hour, and there I was shivering.
Well, that's a frequent occurrence, particularly out in the West, and they are able to navigate those roadways, which can be quite narrow, as you know. But not to miss the fact, a little bit of patience and slow driving can also enhance one's view.
Right. My son recently met the ex-premier, Bertie Ahern, and had a picture taken. So it was a great thrill for him. Okay. So, Richie Neal, always wonderful to have you with us. You know, as you know, I'm your constituent, and I'm very proud of you, and thanks for all you do.
You do a great job, and I'm glad to have the chance to talk with you and my constituents, Alan. Thank you.